Well, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer questions you've sent in. And so we've got a stack of them, so let's jump in, Angel.
All right. You both have mentioned on your Mailbag Monday podcast that Joe listens to Christmas music 365 days a year.
Yes.
It seems that doing that would only water down the significance and beauty of the music and the Christmas season. Plus, if it were my spouse, it could potentially ruin our marriage. I know who wrote this. How do you?
Did you write this?
No, I did not write this.
Did you write this?
How do the two of you make it work? I put on headphones and go into the other room.
And I try not to play it around her. So if I'm in my office, which is pretty much soundproof, I'll listen to Christmas music. If I'm shaving in the morning on the other end of the house, I'll listen to Christmas music. I love Christmas music. I have great memories of Christmas. We were poor growing up, but we had great Christmases. I mean, we never bought a tree. We would go up in the woods and chop it down and decorate it with popcorn. We didn't know. We had no stuff to hang on a tree unless bird nests and pine cones. But I have great memories of Christmas, and I always will. I'll always remember Christmas as a good time. So it's not a one-year event. It's like it's an attitude.
There is another author that I know does the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. And you're just kind of, you want to have the happy around you. Happy is a good emotion that they like to keep. And
that's probably true. It's probably psychological. If there's some class they teach on, I'm sure. It's like, I like happy movies. I like happy things. Angel likes the other side. She likes documentaries. Well, not every documentary ends good. Most of them end really bad. That's why they're popular and people like to watch bad stuff happen to people. Well, I don't. It's just my personality. It doesn't make me right. It just makes me different. It's like, I like happy stuff. I like listening to happy music.
And I'm just curious. I like to see how everything works.
No.
Angel, what made you do that? Why did you do that?
Angel's the smart one. She's like you. So, but we're fine.
Yeah. But there are times around like June that
or 4th of July, like
if I hear
there jingle bells playing in there, what is that?
But the one that gets me the most is Burl Ives.
Yeah, bless her heart, she's not a Burl Ives fan. I love Burl Ives.
I can't
silver and gold silver.
I see Jay, don't, that's gonna be stuck in my brain all day now.
Did we answer the question right?
What there's no right or wrong on that.
No, there's
I don't
not.
Think there is.
No,
but I mean,
not.
Do you feel like it waters it down, the message?
It doesn't to me. And I've done this. I'm 71 years old. And I've done this for decades. For decades.
If it were me, it would water down the message. If it was my personality.
Oh, man, it just enhances it to
but
me.
But see, now, like, to me, once Thanksgiving comes, I'm just like, woohoo.
Turn that volume up.
Exactly. My husband and I can never agree on how much money to spend on our kids at Christmas. Mm. I want our kids to know the true meaning of Christmas is about Jesus, but he wants to give them the most extravagant gifts. He comes from a family that wasn't able to give nice gifts for Christmas, and I truly believe he wants to give our kids the experience he never got. I think that's great, but it also puts us in a financial hole for 2 months that we have to climb out of.
Hey, buddy.
Please share some words of wisdom. Personally, I think when we were young, I mean, you're not saying how old you are, but I'm guessing you're probably younger than I am. But when I was young, you know, people were coming out of the 70s and everybody was kind of struggling. Christmas tended to be lean. And, you know, those were the days when you would go outside and play all day and your mom would maybe give you a bologna sandwich at lunch and you'd have to drink water out of the spigot. She didn't know where you were in the neighborhood. You
didn't care.
You just had to come in after it went dark. And then things shifted and, you know, we became more prosperous as a nation and everything else changed. And then we thought, I don't want to be like my parents that did that. So we came to say, your feelings matter, which my parents could have cared less if I had a feeling.
My good deal.
But so we've gone from one extreme to the other. And in things particularly, I mean, how many times do we go into a restaurant and you see a 3-year-old kid with an iPad sitting there playing video games or you see
yep.
the excess is enormous. It's funny. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about their child who's 10 and what he got for Christmas. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And there's nothing, I don't think things ruin anybody. I think it's the love of things that do it.
There it is.
But I do think there's nothing wrong with your husband and you coming together and saying, this is a comfortable budget. Now, knowing that this is the comfortable budget that we can agree on, then you can buy one big gift or several little tiny ones.
Buy 10 $1 presents or one $10 present.
But this is the truth. If I would say to my kids, okay, I did this thing when they were little, because my son would, if you ever took him in to get a shot, you thought the world, you know, it was the apocalypse had come in. And my daughter was just, she's always trying to be tough. But I remember one day I said to them, I'll tell you what, we got to go get shots today, which I dreaded. And, but if you are a big boy and girl and you try, you can make it through without crying, we will go to Toys R Us. Remember Toys R Us? I love Toys R Us. Yeah. And you can buy anything in that store you want. Now, I knew when I said that, I was kind of taking a risk because I knew that.
There's some expensive stuff.
Yeah. They neither one cry. We go to Toys R Us and neither one of them picked anything over $10.
Yep.
My nephew, who I saw get literally thousands of dollars worth of toys, walked past every one of them and picked up a Nerf ball, and that's all he played with all day. So sometimes that's what you feel you missed.
Yeah.
And not what they missed.
Yeah. You're putting your own life under them.
Yeah. So so maybe you need to, as a couple, take a step back and just really talk about it.
Well, a 5-minute conversation can solve a lot of problems. Hey, Christmas is coming. You know, we got to pull this thing back to this. We have this much extra money to spend. If you don't set that up, you'll spend every dime and you'll be in debt till June. But she said to them, no, we can afford this. We've got this much extra. We can afford this. So let's make this happen. Otherwise, you're going to fight.
And I have a friend that they have 12 brothers and sisters, same parents. And by now, they've got tons of grandkids and everything else. And one year I saw they do a spreadsheet every Christmas. And so you can only spend $50. And let's see, you get a family. So you can either give individuals in that family, like the children, or you can just give it to a family gift. And I was like, these people are very wealthy and they don't hardly spend. They're very, very conservative
on their wealth.
Yeah. So just take a step back and talk about it.
We had a big family. So what we did is we started getting older. One gift, one person. So we drew names. You're going to buy one gift for one person, the name you draw. Dad, mom, your sister, your brother, you got that one name, that's that one gift, and it's a maximum of $50. You're not going to spend more than $50, the whole big family. No, that's maximum. If you get away with 10, go ahead and get away with 10, but 50 is the maximum. So we're going to draw names. We're not going to buy everybody 12 presents. And so even in our family, our immediate family, before we had 6 kids, we did the same just with our family. No, it's your sister a gift or your brother or get mom a gift, just one gift. That's all we're going to do. And so they actually got excited about it.
Well, and the thing is you want to take a step back and say, this is what Christmas means.
I know.
And so we get so commercialized and we get so inundated with media that sometimes it pushes you.
Yes.
And you know what the thing is? The devil always is pushing. So take a step away. Don't let him push you.
Come on. Take the lead.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, if a person doesn't belong to a church, where would that person put their tithes? Does it need to go to the church or can it be put into a ministry that looks after children or is that considered an offering? Very good question.
Now, I've always personally believed the tithe belongs to the local church. And I think every believer needs to belong to a local church. And every believer needs a pastor and every believer needs a fellowship they go hang out with because there's no two people that are the same. There's no two thumbprints, no two voice prints. You learn by being around others that are not like you. That's how you grow. And so backed up, I'd say you need to find a church to belong to. Find one, sign up, and join. Usher, greet, teach, mow the grass, clean the toilet, do something. But
well, that's the thing is not only does the local church That's how it's structured. That's how God intended it to be.
Yes.
For us to support the local church.
Yes.
Now, there are some things that we don't do biblically like that, which is like, the, you know, in the early church, they would send out the teachers yes. and stuff. And that's not how it works today. They are separate.
Yes.
But I still feel like biblically, the tithe belongs to the church.
Yes.
But also the other flip side of that is that the church has a need. And the need is not just your finances, that they need you.
Yes, they need you.
And they need you to fulfill your part and your role there. It's not the pastor's church.
No, it's not.
It's the family. Sometimes we get this very wrong. Like I remember when I had a church, one time we had a cappuccino bar and somebody came in and said, can I take the coffee inside the sanctuary? And I go, yes. They go, what if we spill it? And I go, we clean it up. And I go, the building is here for the people. The people are not here for the building.
Yes.
And sometimes we get that warped a little bit. In the same way we get it warped, that church belongs to that pastor. No, no, no. He's a part of it. He's the head of it. But you are an equally important part of it. He couldn't do what God's called him to do and fulfill everything that God has called that congregation to do without people like yourself being a part
That's
of it.
That's the truth.
So I say local church.
Local church. That's where it needs to be happening.
We believe in the local church.
We are deeply believe in the local church. And people say, well, which one's the right one? Or the one God put you in? And so are you Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, Church of God, Assembly of God? Find a church. Find a pastor. And go help them. Go be a blessing to them. But don't gripe about them. Don't sit on the back pew and judge everything. Go be a part.
Right.
So that's where you're going to be the happiest, is serving.
Exactly.
You're the happiest servant. Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Become the servant of all. So where's happiness tied to? Serving, not judging, serving. So the more you serve, the more often you serve, the happier you're going to be. It's in the Bible.
It's so true. Guys, we pray you have a great week today. So today, as we are thinking about this very, very busy time with your families and all, Joe, let's just take a minute and pray. That as a group, as part of the family, that we would focus on what matters most this season of time,
all right.
Our families.
All right. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we appreciate this time of the year. We say we're very thankful. But Father, help us to be a blessing to everybody we meet. Let us leave everybody better than we find them, Lord. Let us be the salt and the light you said that we were called to be. So we're going to look this season as an opportunity to be a blessing to everybody, everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We love you. Have a great week.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.